A very good morning, your daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trinity Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. That's BBM, Bumbo Brit Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Just Radio Service. You can have your sober call us on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. All right, your mob to Delhi, all your mob in Canberra, and to all our mob, if you're ever in Canberra, you can check out the new studios. ANU has opened up a new recording studio and to be used exclusively by Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander artists for free. And it's hoped the studio will boost Indigenous enrolments at the University School of Music when it catch up with the multi-instrumentalist. That's the Delhi brother, WK. Will Kepler on the line. Will, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, my brother. I'm really good. How are you?
I'm good, my brother. Before we start, let the mob know who you mob, where you're from.
Willie Kepper, coming from Cairns and Torres Straits, from Yam Island, Danlow Island, and currently residing in Canberra, in the bush capital.
And cold country, brother.
Cold country, yeah. I'm on Ngunnawal country,
Yeah, big shout out to all the TOs. Yeah, to Delhi, my brother. Now, confirming you're running the new studio, what's the name of the new studios there, brother?
So the studio is called Yilal Studios,
yes,
and it's a First Nations recording studio here at the School of Music at Australian National University.
Oh, fantastic. Look, a beautiful space for our mob, and the fact that it's for free, it's fantastic. Our music is a part of First Nation people, you know, and it's a way we deliver our stories, our yarns, keep our culture strong, but it's fantastic that we have the space there at ANU, brother.
Yeah, that's right. Look, I think it's a huge commitment from the School of Music and the ANU. Mm. They've brought me on board for like a 4 or 5 year plan, you know, to sort of kickstart this vision, I guess.
Yep.
And it's basically, you know, they see the need for our mob, you know, to try and service our community and pretty much just get our people out there, our music, our stories, our culture, and you know, just to give some recognition again. And I think it's a great initiative that's been brought on by the uni.
Yes.
And you know, I'm just so lucky to be in this position here, in this spot, to be asked to you know, look after it all.
Brother, you've done the hard yards, and you are very talented at what you do. So it's fitting, bro. And as we always say, that we prepare ourselves for the opportunity. The opportunity will present itself, and here it is before you, my brother.
Amen, brother. Amen. All the time, you know?
Yeah.
It's, you know, I mean, I've been working for 20 years, you know?
Yes, brother. Yes.
Up in the Cape.
Everybody sub me Will Kepper, brother. Everybody sub me Will Kepper.
You know, like half of the music collection in Bama Bipra there is probably stuff that I've created.
Yes, and we thank you. Yes. You left your footprint here, brother. Don't worry about that.
Yeah, I know. You've been a big support over the years, that radio station there.
Nah, too deadly, brother.
Yeah.
Look, no, this is good, brother. So has it already opened, or is it still going through the process, or what's happening?
No, it's open for business.
Oh, good.
It's kind of been open for the last couple of months, but it's also been in like a build mode as well. So I've been actually building the studio, really.
Okay.
Piecing it together. I've been given a small budget to purchase equipment for the studio.
Good.
Purchase like sound acoustic treatment around the rooms and stuff. And there's actually still a little bit more to do.
Sure. Sure.
But we wanted to time the official launch of the studio for the visit by the Tiwi Island Strong Women.
Okay.
And Uncle Joe Guy's visit as well. And it's all...
I mean, you speak of Uncle Joe Guy, of course, he's got that song Yilal, and there is a studio named in that same name there. So, we'll play his song as well in regard to recognition of the studio. But Yilal, and it's great that Uncle Joe Guy is going to be visiting you guys.
Yeah, that's right. So he's been here for about a week now. He's what they call a Coombs Fellow of the university. So he comes several times a year to give talks, give guest lectures, and perform and record and whatever we can get him to do down here, you know, just to highly connected to the university at the moment. So
fantastic.
He came and did a lecture here earlier this year, and I sat in on that lecture, and, you know, we all know the song very well. We all know Yilal.
That's right.
I've known for 25, 30 years maybe. And he sang the song in the lecture. And, you know, at first I thought nothing of it. And then, like, he got, you know, a quarter of the way through the song, and it was like this revelation moment to me. That
goosebumps on my goosebumps here. Listen, Jan.
He was singing this song directly to me, you know.
Shut up. That's right, brother.
No one else was in the room, just me and him. And it was like a moment of gifting me that word, Yilal, meaning to sing.
Yeah.
And at the time, I was searching for a name for the studio as well, and it was like he presented it to me.
Yeah,
and
brother. I got goosebumps here, my brother.
I sat down for a cup of tea with him.
Yes.
And he knew straight away what I was going to ask him, and he said yes.
Shut up.
You can have that name. That's the name, brother, Studio Brilliant Blood.
My brother, the ancestors have spoken.
Get him.
Yeah, get him. Proper, brother, proper. Look, that is too deadly, my brother. And look, and it's open, it's free for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander students. They don't have to be uni students, but potential they can be uni students, yes?
Yeah, for sure, for sure. I mean, like, part of this initiative is also to hopefully encourage students to come and study here, of course, you know?
Mm.
Because I'm one of four Indigenous students here at the School of Music out of, I don't know, more than 150 maybe, almost 200 students. So they see the need to, you know, have more Indigenous enrolment.
Exactly.
So hopefully this can feed into that.
Well, it's a tool, it's a vehicle, bringing people to the table.
Yeah, that's right. And we need more of our mob, you know, sort of excelling in this area as well. But, you know, we have mob that are...
Well, we're very talented, aren't we, brother?
Yeah, they're up there. But we want to see them sort of go the extra mile now, you know,
get
a piece of paper and you know, become teachers and qualified musicians, you know.
Exactly, like, my brother. Look, I think the ANU done a smart move there.
Different level again. Right?
Exactly. They've done a smart move there in recording, organising a brand new studio, but also having you holding the reins there, my brother.
Yeah. Look, I'm very honoured, and I've just been blessed with another opportunity here.
Mm.
And, you know, I mean, big thanks to the head of school here, Kim Cuneo.
Yes.
And Dr. Chris Sainsbury, who some people might know. He used to teach at Eora College in Sydney for years.
Okay, yep.
He has ancestral ties to the Sydney area there, the Darug mob, I think they're called.
Mm.
And the mob around Sydney area there. So he's here, and he's kind of the Indigenous convener here at the university. So he plays a big part in any all things Indigenous there.
Yeah, too deadly. My brother, look, a very deadly yarn, a very exciting news, what they've done there, opened up the studio. Yilal Studio is now open for business, and keep doing what you do, my brother. Big shout-out to your mob there, and we'll be in touch, Will?
Good to hear your voice again, and hello to Jackie and all the family up there as well.
Wow, brother, pass it on, my brother. You take care, eh?
Yeah, you too.
Yeah, well.
All right,
small. Too deadly. Beautiful yarn there. That's Will Kepper. He's a new man running the new studios at ANU, exclusively for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander artists, all for free. Also, it helped boost Indigenous enrolments at the university. And the new studio is called Yilal. And look, fantastic. We'll go to now Uncle Joe Geyer, whose song and is called Yilal, and that's where the name of the studio came from. After having a cup of tea with Will Kepper, who's running the new studios there, and was looking for a name, and it was all meant to be. And like I said, Yana with Will there had goosebumps when I listened to that yarn. So Too Deadly, Uncle Joe Geyer, you Too Deadly, and big shout out to your mob. Stay tuned, Too Deadly, First Nation radio station, the program National Talk Black with Trinity Trev, Murray from the Curry. Too Deadly.
on your mob. It's me, Bush Tucker Bungie, and you're listening to the National Talk Black program. Makaran.
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
A very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. You know it, BB and Bumbleberry Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. You can give us a call on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. All right, now, an ancient Aboriginal technology unearthed in rare bone discovery on Gurindjeri, our country, that is. And we're going to catch up with the research leader have a yarn with him, Dr. Christopher Wilson, on the line. Dr. Christopher, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Trevor. I'm good, thank you. And thanks for inviting me to talk to your listeners.
Now, thank you very much for coming to the program. Fantastic. Before we start, let the mob know who your mob, where you're from.
Yeah, so my mob are Ngarrindjeri from the southeast of South Australia, so the Lower Murray Lakes and Coorong, and also Ghana, which is the Adelaide Plains.
All right, beautiful. Lovely footprint there. Now, look, congratulations, fantastic, but ancient Aboriginal technology unearthed and rare bone discovery on your country. So tell us how this came about and the excitement you would have as a research leader, yes?
Yeah, so it came about as excavations that I did as part of my PhD research in the Lower Murray, part of a project called Lower Murray Archaeological Project. And it was a collaborative research done with the Ngarrindjeri community around looking at, I guess, riverine technologies and the way that people occupied river systems and, and river environments. So the bone artifact was actually discovered in the lab.
Yes.
Only recently. So we didn't know it was there in the excavations, and we did a reanalysis of the collection with a small grant that we had through CABAR, which is the Centre for Australian Biodiversity and Heritage. And so we got some other researchers, some colleagues who are also on the paper to have a look at the bone artefact as well and collaborate on, you know, looking at possibilities of how people used it and the kinds of technologies that people had at this particular point in time. So the artefact is not directly dated, but where it was situated in excavation is about 5,000 years ago, which is what we call the mid-Holocene. And, yeah, I mean, it's really important for understanding, you know, people's social systems and, you know, and the way that first Australians had actually migrated through the river system. So, yeah, it's been an exciting find because you don't get many bone artefacts preserved well in these sites. So, you know, even just one discovery is a good one.
Look, fantastic. So going about your discovery, but you're doing a project as such, but you come across the discovery. So that's a bonus in more ways than one.
That's right. Yeah, and I mean, with this particular artifact, we think it was, you know, mainly an awl. So, you know, it's a particular tool that was used for clothing, possibly, or for sewing implements.
Yes.
So these types of tools, you know, the South Australian Museum has quite a large collection of bone tools. And so they're associated with a few things. So they're associated with fishing. They can be associated with, you know, burial places, but also associated with, you know, making clothing items as well. And we think that's what it's probably most likely linked to.
So when you find such a find in that area, would you continue digging around that area to find more tools or bone structures?
Yeah, well, I think this gives a good indication about, you know, the kinds of technologies people had. And, you know, using bone implements is certainly, you know, an interesting part of people's toolkit.
Yes.
So, you know, stone is definitely something that people use, but, you know, bone technologies and is also important. Then there are other organic type of technologies which we don't necessarily preserve well in archaeological records, so things like nets and other types of clothing and things like that, which, you know, we don't preserve well, so we don't actually recover them. So
yes.
Bone's good for being able to determine, okay, there's a different set of toolkit that people are using, particularly in the river system, gives us a good idea about how people were living. And
yes, exactly. It's all part of the big picture, and the jigsaw pieces that we find is putting those pieces together to create the picture, yes?
Yeah, that's right. Yep, it's like a big jigsaw.
And so the TOs are well aware. You communicate with the traditional owners of the land about the findings. Are they at the table?
Yeah, so, you know, Ngarrindjeri have been excited about the finds as well. And, of course, we had community out on site when we did the excavations. And they were also, you know, there's Indigenous knowledges and Ngarrindjeri knowledges around these particular places as well. So
yes.
interesting to have, you know, elders and TOs out on site and sharing that information for, for research as well. So,
you could say the ancestors have spoken, haven't they?
Well, yes, that's right.
Fantastic. Dr. Chris, thank you so very much. I think it's fantastic. We will keep in touch. And hey, say, watch this space is probably a statement I'd like to say.
No worries.
All the best. You take care. Thank you, Dr. Christopher.
Okay, bye.
A deadly yarn there, Dr. Christopher Wilson, research leader, Ngunjeri man, and ancient Aboriginal technology unearthed in rare bone discovery. So fantastic. Us mob are working for our mob and findings, and like I said, ancestors put the bones in front of the brother, being a First Nation man and a doctor at that, is meant to be. Have your say, yarn up strong, add to the conversation, 1-800-422-416.
My name's Jared Harbrow from the Gold Coast Suns. You're tuned in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trek.
1-800-422-416.
Searching all my life when I should have stayed. I tried to run. I was searching for an answer in a world full of strangers, but what I found was never real enough. Now that I found you, I'm looking through the eyes of love. thought that I would find someone who's so sweet and kind like you. Please believe me when I say this time I won't run away. I swear by the heaven stars above, now that I found you, I'm looking through the eyes of love. Looking in the eyes of love, I can see
Sky alongside Zenit.
G'day, you mob. This is Tanya Kernighan with Trendy Trev, and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now, 1-800-422-416.
'60s, I've been in the desert, and every night I dream of the sea. They say, home is where you find it. Will this place ever satisfy me? For I come from the song. And my island home, my island home, my island home is waiting for me. In the evening the dry wind blows from the hills and across the plain. I close my in a boat
want to see again. And I'm holding that long fellow's fear, and I feel I'm close now to where it must be. My island home is waiting for me. Now I'm out here west of Alice Springs with a wife and a family, and my island home, my island home, my island home is waiting for me. In the evening to drive from the hills and across the plain, I close my eyes and I'm standing in a boat on the sea again. And I'm holding that long tail spear, and I feel I'm close now to where it was. Waiting for me, my island home, my island home, my island home is waiting for me, my island home, my island home, my island home, my island home, my island home.
Folks, Troy Cassidale here. You're with Trevor on National Talk Black. Don't move that dial.
Come on, drive it. Drive it like you stole it, son. Drive it.
Yes, a very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live on First Nation radio station here in Cairns. You know what? BBM Bummer Brit Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. You can have your Sabre calls on the daily number 1-800-422-416. Indigenous business booming. New data reveals sector's success. We're going to catch up a yarn now with Associate Professor Michelle Evans, Head of University of Melbourne Indigenous Business Research Group and Research Lead. A very good morning, Sister Michelle. How are you?
Oh, I'm so great. Thanks for having me on your program, Trevor.
Now, all good. Thank you very much for coming. First of all, let the mob know who you mob, where you're from.
I'm a Koori woman from the Hunter Valley, born in Cessnock, and I don't know my traditional connections due to historical circumstances there, but still looking.
But you will join the dots, yes. Yes, exactly. And enjoy that journey. And look, your foreign cousins come out of woodwork, don't worry about that. Look, a very important space you're working in, and I just say that we are business owners. We just happen to be black, and business black businesses is booming in the 21st century, is it not?
It really is. It's just such an exciting time to be in business. And where we're at now is, you know, over the past couple of decades, there's been a real commitment to growing Indigenous businesses, especially over the past decade with the advent of Supply Nation and a whole range of Indigenous business chambers across Australia. It's just been an incredible, exciting time to be a part of business. And I think we need to know a little bit about the numbers and,
yes,
and have some data. There's a lot of data being collected, but
numbers don't lie, so they're good numbers, aren't they?
They're great numbers. They're really great numbers. I do want to say a little bit about the representativeness of the sample,
okay,
because some people might get a little bit blown out of the water by the numbers. We're looking at a gross income across these 3,619 corporations and businesses of $4.88 billion. So that's how
that's
much
a bit of coin
money
there.
they're getting into their organisation.
Yes, and that coin can help this country roll. It helps the country move, doesn't it?
It really does. How does it help? It helps by employing people. And
yes,
these businesses also employ like over 45,000 Australians. Incredible numbers. And then we can only imagine the sort of effects on social determinants for people who are employed,
yes,
and also the incredible impact these businesses are having in their communities.
Well, exactly. And when you see a black person in business, 90% of the times they're employing black people. And black on black, that's
definitely
a beautiful ingredient for success.
It is. And it's a really, you know, culturally safe environment,
yes,
to grow and strengthening. And I really think we do look to business as a vehicle for self-determination. We're seeing incredible independent economic kind of development happening through these businesses. People get to choose what type of goods or services they are engaged in delivering. They get to choose who they employ with and even who they do business with. And,
exactly,
you know, you can't get better than that.
Exactly. And this is only a snapshot, so we still don't know the huge success of black people in business in this country at this point in time yet.
That's right. I mean, some of the figures before have estimated for individual entrepreneurs like about 18,000 or so. So we're only looking at 3,619 corporations and businesses. So It's only a small amount, so it's only that snapshot, and a lot of them are very, very big. And the ones that we've looked at have been registered on the four Indigenous business registries that we've used to source this data from, being Supply Nation, the ORIC database, Indigenous Capability Development Network, and also the Victorian Aboriginal Business Directory. So it's only just the start. It is
sure
a snapshot, and we really need to all kind of get behind making our Indigenous business sector visible and really getting out there and rocking and rolling.
So I suppose a message going out to First Nation people in business, if you're not registered with those organisations you mentioned, it's a good idea to do that to help progress, to help research and keep the motivation going for black people in business, yes?
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, when we talk to procurers, so government departments or corporations or even not-for-profits who are looking to find Indigenous businesses to do business with,
yes,
to give procurement.
So it's a marketing arm by signing up with those different associates, yes, promoting your business.
They look to the registries to find people, and if you're not there, it's very difficult to find, unless, you know, people are really great at doing all the networking, but we know these
the Murray Grapevine
take time, right?
Yes, yes.
So, yeah, it's a great time to be in business.
And in regards to the research there, Professor Michelle, what industries are we talking across the board?
Oh, absolutely. In every industry in Australia, one of the things that I found really interesting was that, you know, of course, we kind of expected the biggest industry sector to be construction services.
Okay.
And that's a lot to do with the mining sector, especially
yes
up in northwestern Western Australia. But the second largest was our professional services companies.
Mm.
And that's a very different type of business altogether. And you know those type of businesses that are going out there doing incredible work through consulting or through developing excellent policy. This is wonderful to hear.
Mm.
And then we've got a lot of businesses, 10% of the Indigenous businesses that we have in this iBlade data set are health and social assistance organisations and corporations. And that's our community-controlled health services, and they just provide incredibly critical services, especially in regional and remote. And believe it or not, Trevor, they employ up to 24% of the total amount of people employed by the business sector. So that's 24% of the 45,000 in the health sector. I do think it is the future of work for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people, that caring part. And we do need to kind of grow our sectors even further.
And by doing that, well, it helps close the gaps in all aspects, doesn't it?
That's right. And I mean, look, I think the close the gap approach is a really important thing that we need to keep our eye on. But I really encourage us to think about it from a philosophy of self-determination, because that's limitless. If we're really just focusing on closing the gap once we get their job done, but we don't want to be thinking that way. We want to be thinking how can Indigenous leadership and governance of businesses and corporations take us where we want to go into the future.
Well, beginning's half done, and look fantastic, and 4% increase. There's room for growth. And black people are at the table, front and centre. Fantastic, beautiful yarn. Thank you so very much, Professor. All the best to your team, your family. Stay safe, and we'll yarn soon, sis.
Thanks, Trevor. Take care.
All the best. Bye-bye.
Bye.
A deadly yarn there. That's Associate Professor Michelle Evans, Head of University of Melbourne Indigenous Business Research Group and Research Lead, and talking about Indigenous business booming. And new data reveals sector's success and up to about 4% of increase. And black people in business in this country has turned over something like $4.88 billion. So there it is. We're doing our bit regarding keeping this country rolling. But black people in business, there's room for growth, you mob. So be a true entrepreneur. Bring it to the your entrepreneur skills to the surface and do what you need to do. Like I said, we are business people, just have to be black. Too deadly. Have you say yarn up strong, 1-800-422-416.